Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, my very good friends. Andy Murray here, live from my studio-like structure. And on today's wrestling news, going to tell you all about Ivelisse leaving AEW under a storm of controversy.
Mike Tyson KOs a member of the Pinnacle on AEW Dynamite.
Darby Allin summons the spirit of Jeff Hardy while wrestling Matt Hardy by diving off a very high thing on AEW Dynamite.
And Chris Jericho shoots on NXT leaving Wednesday night. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And I'm very jealous of Andy Murray's studio-like structure. And this is the news.
Built by Bray Wyatt himself. Anyway, let's kick things off by talking this Ivelisse story, which is wild. So Ivelisse hasn't appeared on AEW television for a while. Her last appearance was on the 2nd of March. Her tag team partner, Diamante, with whom she won the first ever Women's Tag Team Cup, has been working as a singles wrestler. What the hell is going on? Well, the Wrestling Observer reported recently that there were some issues between Ivelisse and a number of coaches within AEW, and that was contributing towards her not being on TV. Now, Ivelisse is gone. She's out of AEW, by all accounts. She tweeted last night, and she has since deleted this, so we can't put up one of our nice graphics here, but she tweeted, "History repeats itself. I speak up about mistreatment and get let go. That's life." Fightful have done some digging into this, and they have sourced a statement from Ivelisse, who mentions AEW by name here, clarifying that she was talking about that promotion and not potentially another one. I'll just read the thing, because it kind of says it all. I spoke up about mistreatment from a coach, even to other women too. There were witnesses, and I was the one suspended and left in limbo and just now let go, and nothing has been done at all the entire time about Thunder Rosa slandering my name the entire time in AEW and doing everything to sabotage my position there. I kept quiet. Thunder Rosa also has a history of getting involved with officials in order to get ahead, which there was a lawsuit and everything in Lucha Underground. So Thunder Rosa and Ivelisse, if you cast your mind back to, like, I think it was September last year, they had this really weird match on Dynamite where it looked like Ivelisse was being uncooperative. It looked like she wasn't really working with Thunder Rosa, and some stories came out surrounding that. Now, she's denied that on Twitter, responding directly to somebody who was tweeting her about the whole situation. Very active last night on Twitter, Ivelisse. And the Fightful report here acknowledges that AEW talent had previously told them that well-known disagreements between Ivelisse and AEW staff members had taken place. Nobody from AEW has commented on the situation yet. They haven't acknowledged it. There's been nothing from Thunder Rosa either. But this is a crazy kind of situation. We kind of heard whispers through various outlets that maybe Ivelisse wouldn't be back after she disappeared in March. And that Diamante has been working as a singles wrestler kind of gives credence to that. But it's not the first controversial story we've heard from Ivelisse. We should stress that these allegations that she's making here are completely one-sided. The other sides haven't responded. So, you know, pinch of salt with everything as always. But she's alleging these things from coaches and from Thunder Rosa and everyone else. That is what it is. It's not the first time that Ivelisse will have left the promotion under controversial circumstances. She's gone now, however. Diamante continuing on her own. It's just a weird story to kind of unfold on a Tuesday. Wednesday was yesterday. Wednesday night.
Yeah, it was. We're not going to get into the allegations. We're not going to respond and talk about who's right and who's wrong in all this, because it's not our position and we don't know all the facts here. All I will say is it's probably best for all parties that she is gone. If she's unhappy with AEW and she perceives this favouritism, but let's just say towards people like Thunder Rosa, then she shouldn't work for that company because she clearly feels like she doesn't have a future there. And for AEW, you talk about that match, a lot of people obviously sharing those clips of the Ibelis Thunder Rosa match from last year. And I just think AEW need to move on. She needs to move on. It's probably best for everyone that they go their separate ways. And I mean, look at the women's division now in AEW. A sensational match, I thought, last night from Jade Cargill and Thunder Rosa. What am I talking about? And Red Velvet. And so, we're not going to say much more about it. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. But probably best for everyone, Andy, that they go their separate ways.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely sounds like the healthiest solution to this issue.
Yeah. Speaking of healthy solutions, KOing people. No.
Knocking people out.
No, it was Cash Wheeler who ate a brutal knockout punch from one Mike Tyson on last night's AEW Dynamite. This was, of course, in the midst of that Dax Harwood-Chris Jericho match where Mike Tyson was involved as the special guest enforcer. He was calling it down the middle, as Jericho had alluded to him doing. He took weapons off both wrestlers early on, and then towards the end of the match, it all fell apart, of course. The Pinnacle, the Inner Circle, they're brawling. They come out on the stage. In the midst of all this, Wheeler tries to get involved, tries to even possibly hit Mike Tyson with Chris Jericho's bat. Hit Chris Jericho with Mike Tyson's bat, and then hit Chris Jericho with Chris Jericho's bat. Then Mike Tyson got involved. He looked like he was going to hit Mike Tyson. I'm very tired. I do apologise. And he got smashed out, and then Jericho won the match, hitting Harwood with a Judas effect. A far more effective use of Mike Tyson, I thought, this week than the time he was sat yawning holding the TNT Championship.
Yeah, much better presentation from Tyson here. Just knocking people out, that's what he does. He gets physical, he puts his hands on your chin and your lights go out. It was quite deft of them, to borrow a phrase from my esteemed colleague Michael Sidgwick. As well, you have two boxers on the show. You have Mike Tyson and you have Anthony Ogogo.
Who looked great, by the way.
Yeah, he looked tremendous in his match, but he put his opponent away with a body shot. Tyson tapped Cash on the chin. So it's a nice little way of not repeating spots there, even though you have two boxers knocking people out on the same show. I'm all on the Ogogo train. I thought he looked excellent as well. So, yeah, good stuff. You know what else was good? Probably not for physical well-being, but Darby Allin closing AEW Dynamite with a Jeff Hardy-esque dive from the scaffolding while wrestling his brother Matt in the main event. It was a chaotic main event. Loads of interferences. It was like an anything goes match as well. So weapon use basically from the first bell with a steel chair. Matt Hardy bringing that involved. They brawled all over the place past Tony Khan backstage. Matt Hardy hit a leg drop off a ladder backstage, but he was outdone in the end. Darby Allin beat the hell out of him with a baseball bat, another baseball bat, two baseball bats. You can't play baseball. Shut up, Andrew. it all culminated with Darby clearing the announce table, scaling the scaffold, not as high up as some of Jeff Hardy's other things, but that's probably for the best because he hit a coffin drop, and a coffin drop is back first, obviously. Back first through the announce table, wins, defends the TNT title, Matt Hardy loses, Darby Allin is insane, he's done it again, and this was a crazy spot.
Yeah, so many bonkers spots already in Darby Allin's history, and already seen people online speculating about whether by the end of both of their careers he'll have done even madder stuff than stuff that Jeff Hardy's done, which is just crazy to think. Darby Allin retaining the TNT Championship. Early on in the night, the Young Bucks retained their AEW Tag Team Championships in a bloody annoying tag team match against Rey Fénix and Pac-Man for all the right reasons. God, they're unbearable bastards now. In storyline, of course. And I forgot to mention, by the way, Mike Tyson are now an honorary member of the Inner Circle after what happened earlier. But yeah, I love this TNT Championship match. I will hold my hands up, myself and Hamflet, when previewing Dynamite yesterday, had our concerns about this with Matt Hardy being the shape he's in. But I thought they worked the ideal match for both performers, Andy.
Yeah, it was good stuff indeed.
Right, let's conclude and let's conclude all conversations about the Wednesday Night Wars. How about that? With this statement from Chris Jericho. I'm not saying that this is the definitive statement. I'm just saying that this is the last time I really want to be talking about it, because you can just enjoy both shows separate of each other without having to compare them or doing anything now, right? Okay. Well, Chris Jericho has come out in an interview with Forbes' Alfred Konua saying that AEW sent NXT, quote, screaming and yelling away from Wednesdays. The full quote says, we're talking about competition between the two shows. Of course we're competitive. Yes, we wanted to beat NXT. Yes, we wanted to drive them screaming and yelling away from Wednesdays. And we did that. He also later on continued to basically claim that the reason why Dynamite did better than NXT is because they focused on themselves rather than trying to beat the competition, which is an accusation that was quite fairly, in my opinion, leveled at NXT for their random hot-shotting of 8 title matches. And then, oh, no finishes. 8 title matches again next week. I think it comes back to a particular favourite phrase of mine. Don't chase the competition, Andy. Chase the dream.
Oh, lovely, inspirational stuff. Yeah, I mean, Chris Jericho knows what he's doing here. He knows when he says things like this that some people are going to get annoyed. And if you're annoyed hearing these words and worked out by them, well, congratulations, Chris Jericho, it worked. but, you know, at the same time, he's correct. The counter-programming allegations were immediate because it was very transparent in what WWE were doing. And it's hard to blame them for that. It's a valid tactic to try and take ratings away, but it does come at the cost sometimes of storytelling and coherence. So, you know, that's a debate that you can rage on and on and on about forever. What matters most is that the stupid bickering and the horrible social media stuff and all the stuff that made the Wednesday Night Wars really unenjoyable over the past year or so. The early stages were fun. The last stages, not so much. Hopefully all of that stuff is dead. Hopefully we can just move forward and, Merry Christmas, war is over, Live Aid, Bob Geldof, hello.
Let's just enjoy the fact we get a week of wrestling every sodding week. Raw, NXT, Dynamite, Impact, SmackDown, and then bonus stuff at the weekends as well. And let's enjoy the fact that on the first Wednesday Night War, or the first shows after the Wednesday Night War, NXT and AEW Dynamite both put on great shows. NXT did like 800,000. I'm fascinated to find out how Dynamite did last night. We'll find that, of course, tonight, and we'll hopefully report on that tomorrow as well. Just think, what would Simon Miller do in this situation? Because he's a lovely bloke, apart from to us, obviously. He hates all of us. I'm joking. Let's move on to your Twitter questions. At What Culture WWE, of course, if you want to get in touch with us. Lord KPS starts us off. He says, I feel AEW made a mistake letting the buzz for Moxley and Kenta die out. I feel they're doing the same for Omega and Swan by not promoting it on Dynamite. Should they do a big angle on it next week? Yeah, of course. Omega versus Swan. Title for title next weekend, Andy.
Yeah, interesting stuff. I don't think they let the Kenta Moxley buzz die out because the match was just, well, like 2 weeks after Moxley and Kenta had the tag match on Dynamite. So I don't think that's necessarily a fair statement. But yes, I would like to see Rich Swann crossover to AEW Dynamite because he's the best guy on Impact. He's on a hell of a little run. They're building that program on Impact. Bring him over. Why not? At the end of the day, it isn't AEW's job to bring TV ratings and an audience to other products, but it would be nice if they did, and it would be cool to see Swan on TV for sure.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that match next weekend as well, even though we all kind of know which way it's going to finish, but good luck, Rich, regardless. Second question today comes from Angela Dawn, who says, do you think Finn Balor will bring back the Demon in a rematch against Karrion Kross, or will he move forward by going back to the main roster? Conspicuous by his absence on NXT this week, Andy.
Yeah, my impression, my gut feeling with Finn Balor is that he's going to stay on NXT as the Prince. I don't know if we'll see the Demon for a while yet. If they do a cross rematch, I think they'll play it straight. Just going by recent comments that Balor has made about being a different character and stuff now, and, you know, maybe sidelining the Demon for a while. Now, wrestlers, it's difficult to take wrestlers at face value because they are literally professional liars. They're actors. But I just have the feeling that he's going to stay on NXT. Now, fast forward to tomorrow night and him debuting on SmackDown and me looking like a bell end. But that's where I think we're at. I think we will see the Demon again, but not for a year or two yet.
As a man who has to review Raw weekly, no. SmackDown, you don't get more good wrestlers. You're already spoiled as it is, and you clearly dominated WrestleMania weekend. Please let Raw have something. I don't know. I've absolutely no clue on this. I could easily see, although they seem to be going for another match in the Cole O'Reilly stuff, eventually building to Kyle O'Reilly getting murdered by Karrion Kross, or maybe finally winning the big one. Difficult. I certainly feel it won't happen soon if he is going to come back as the Demon, because Karrion Kross is holding that title for a while, in my opinion. Yeah. They wouldn't put it on him, then have to take it off him because of injury, then put it back on him and then go, cool, well, you've had a month with that, let's take it off you. So it's going to be a while. So maybe the demon will come back. I don't think that'll happen until maybe even Survivor Series weekend. Who knows? Complete speculation on my behalf. Final question today comes from Scott Williams, or should I say Scott Williams and Jasmine, good girl Jasmine, who says, with Edge and Daniel Bryan returning from career-ending injuries to Main Event Mania this past weekend, and shout out to whoever it was who tweeted us, Andy, saying Edge, reminding us that Edge has now won 2 Royal Rumbles and lost both matches at WrestleMania. Not a great record, that. Sorry, Adam. Anyway, Scott says, with them returning from career-ending injuries to Main Event Mania this past weekend, what are the odds of a Jason Jordan return?
I have absolutely no idea. I have to answer that fairly. I have no idea whatsoever. Reports on his physical status and well-being have been very few and far between. Chad Gable has said that he's training to try and get clear, to try and come back. It can never be totally ruled out, but we don't know. You know, there are differences between these kind of injuries, and yeah. Jason Jordan's situation might be vastly different to Edge and Daniel Bryan. So it would be in bad faith of me to say, yes, I think he's going to wrestle again, or no, I don't think he is. I would love to see it happen. I think he's very talented, and I think he comes across as a great guy as well, you know, be off screen and everything yeah. else. So hope it happens for his sake, but I would not be terribly surprised if it didn't.
By all reports, he's having a great time being a producer, isn't that right? Something like that?
That's right, that's right. He's yeah. producing, he's doing a good job at that. So if he can't wrestle again, he has that at the very yeah, least.
Exactly. Obviously, all of us at What Culture would love to see him back in wrestling. But it's like saying, well, if Daniel Bryan can come back, why hasn't Paige come back yet? They're two different injuries, yeah. they're two different people. We obviously would love to see it. Personally, I'd desperate to see him back in a wrestling ring because it was such a, you know, anti-climax, and they kind of botched the first storyline he got, breaking off on his own Kurt Angle's son weirdness. They didn't even really have as much fun with that as they could have done, but hopefully they can. But as we always say, safety first. If there's a iffy chance of him getting injured again, let's not risk it. Let's just have him yeah. keep being a producer for WWE, and keep our fingers crossed. But yeah, don't hold your breath. Let's finally conclude by moving on to today's and finally, and Taya Valkyrie, who tweeted about her new name, Frankie Monet, of course, in NXT, because people were talking about it in the immediate aftermath of her popping up on NXT this week, saying, hey guys, I love my name, maybe since I picked it. Go figure, I could be called Sunshine Tuna and I would make it work. So take a breath, stop complaining and enjoy this evolution ride with me. Thanks. So excited to see the new Frankie Monet in NXT, Andy.
Yeah, what are people on about? That's a great name. I sometimes I think people just like to have a gripe about a gripe for the sake of having a gripe. Frankie Monet is a good name. Stop it. Stop it, you.
Also really enjoyed the back and forth between Taya and Peyton Royce, who revealed she was this close to being Kiki Mourning, to which Taya responded, Kiki is actually what my friends from back home call me. You could have been Sparkle Dolphin and made it work. So there we go. Peyton Royce is now Sparkle Dolphin, and Taya Valkyrie, a.k.a. Frankie Monet, is now Sunshine Tuna in all our books. Just like Omos, for me, will always be Big George. Right, let's finish it up there. Let us know your thoughts on that, on all of today's news stories in the comment section down below. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and Michael Hamblett sitting down to review AEW Dynamite later on today. Plus, you can let us know your thoughts and Twitter questions on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for, hey, how'd you like my new digs?
Very, very jealous. Beautiful. Andy. You can follow me at Adam Wilbur. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.